You want to sit right here?
You can probably talk. If somebody asks you a question, you can talk. They might ask you a question, maybe.
We're going to go ahead and continue our post-race media availabilities with our race winner, Chase Briscoe and Brooks. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand. We'll get a mic over to you. We'll start down here with Kelly.
Wait till I ask you a question.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Chase, were you expecting, did you think that Reddick was going to try to dive or do something into turn 3 and 4? And for the record, he said he had zero faith that it was going to work.
Yes and no, just because I knew that it probably was not going to work. Like as far as if you aren't on the wall at the end of the run, I mean, it is like ice. So I knew I just couldn't let him somehow get outside of me or mess up 1 and 2 so bad where we were side by side enough where he could slide me, because I would back my corner up into 3 so much just to make sure I could get on the wall and not hit it. So he tried it, I think, with 3 or 4 to go. And whenever he did that and it didn't work out, that's when I knew that even a dive bomb at the end was probably out of the question unless he was extremely close. And then, when I had I felt like I had a comfortable enough gap coming to the white or coming to the checkered, I guess, down the back stretch that, I wasn't really expecting a dive bomb per se.
You said at Media Day earlier this week that in a Gibbs car with this team that it's expected to basically get to the round of 8, if not the championship 4. To have won your way into at least now the next round, and it's the Southern 500, all of that, just how much is that a relief? Like, what does that all mean to just get it done right out of the way in the first race?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, truthfully, like, all week and especially today, like, I never once even thought about the playoffs. Like, because truthfully, the round of 16, like, with our speed, as long as we just go out and run halfway decent, we should make it. So I try to just not even think about the playoffs at all, today or yesterday or throughout the weekend. And I mean, it's definitely nice to start off, be able to lock our way into the round of 12. But I'm way more excited about 7 playoff points for the next couple rounds, right? You know, that's something that we were at a pretty big deficit at. And to add 7, that's a huge deal, going forward. So, yeah, I was way more excited about that than probably locking into the round of 12. But it's definitely nice for us to start our playoffs off, in the way that we did it, and not just winning, but I felt like we dominated, and that's really cool to do. So, it definitely is a great way for us to start, and hopefully we can just ride this momentum now.
We'll come down here to Cameron. Then we'll go in the back to Barry and Pete.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. Chase, what just makes you built for these types of moments? Because I think back to 2022, where you make the round of 8 on points and nearly win your way into the championship 4, and last year winning this race and then bring up a clutch performance at Bristol and make the round of 12. And tonight you just dominate the whole field and lead over 300 laps. Just what mindset, or just what puts you in just in that mindset to just perform in these types of situations?
Yeah, I don't know. I've always just loved high pressure situations. I feel like I just perform better for whatever reason. And I feel like my whole career has been, always a high pressure situation, right? Like there was no backup plan. You might only get 1 race. You got to go perform and show your worth. So I've always felt like every week I feel like I'm still auditioning to prove that I belong here. And, certainly, though, the higher the pressure, the better I feel like I do for whatever reason. I mean, statistically, I typically run better in the playoffs. That midsummer stretch where not a lot's going on, I typically struggle. And I don't know. I just definitely, the higher the pressure, it seems like the better I do for whatever reason. I guess it's a good trait to have, especially just with what the playoffs are. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know that anything's ever really trained me for it other than just, every time I got in a car, I felt like I was auditioning to prove that I belonged here. And because of that, it puts you always in a high pressure situation.
Hey, Brooks, how was Victory Lane?
Good.
Was there confetti?
Yeah.
Was there a big trophy?
Yeah.
Cool.
What did you do out on the front straightaway after we won?
I stand up the cone and went up and then wave the checker flag.
Sounds like a whole lot of fun. All right, we'll go in the back to Barry.
Barry Richmond, WAKG Danville. Chase, you've touched on this with a couple of the answers, but coming to a high-performing team, high-performing organization, what were your expectations, you know, from Daytona out of the gate for the balance of 2025?
Yeah, I mean, the expectation was to go and you know, contend for wins and you know, hopefully battle for a championship. You know, I would say it definitely was harder than I anticipated the first, I don't know, call it 10 weeks.
You know,
and I think, too, just JGR was off, right? But Bell was able to go win three in a row there. And I think we were just learning so much about ourselves. And I was learning the race cars and just how different they drove that it definitely took a little more time than I expected. But, you know, I felt like tonight is definitely what we're capable of, you know, kind of week in and week out. If we just do our job and perform, I mean, the cars are just so good. And, you know, the execution was there. And just if we do that, typically we're in the mix to win, you know, not necessarily dominate like we did tonight, but you know, typically if we just do our jobs right, then we at least should be in the mix. And you know, at that point you just have to capitalize on it.
Start your engines.
We'll go to Pete.
Hello.
And then over to Matt, then right here in the middle. Hello. And Jerry.
Pete Iacobelli, Associated Press. You guys had problems with the alternator. James said he came in, they told you to turn off the cool suit, turn off the fan. How did you make it through the rest of the race without those kind of conveniences that you guys rely on to just to keep your cool about you?
Honestly, it wasn't as hard as I expected it was going to be when it all started happening. You know, the cool shirt thing, you kind of get used to it, so it's nice, right? But the biggest thing was just the no helmet fan at first, just because all of a sudden there's just so much sweat just pouring down your face, and I was constantly going down the straightaway and lifting my shield up and wiping it, and it just truthfully kind of got annoying. But it wasn't really like hot inside the car. You know, if it would have been 90-100 degrees, it would have been rough. But yeah, it was really one of those things where it kind of was a hindrance for 10-15 laps, and then I kind of just got in the mindset of I can't do anything about it now, so just deal with it.
We'll go to Matt.
Matt Weaver, Motorsport.com. I stepped in late, so if some of this was already covered, I apologize. Brooks is hilarious right now. This is awesome.
He wants me to tell everybody that he waved the flag. That's what he just wants me to tell everybody.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, last year, a year ago today, more or less, Coach came into Victory Lane, and your dad was there. And I remember he told your dad, you know, congratulations. But he's like, we're going to do this a lot together. And so I'm curious now, a year later, two wins later, do you feel like you're upending or upholding your end of the bargain to do what you set out to do?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I would love to still have more wins at this point, right? But I definitely feel like I'm getting to the point where I feel comfortable, like, I feel like now people aren't questioning it as much, like, you know, why do they go with him, right? So, yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like I'm holding up my end of the bargain, I guess, per se. I know my dad, I heard him tell Coach we meet here again, right? So it's been a good place for us to see Coach. But, yeah, I definitely feel like you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm showing my worth, I guess, to Coach. And, you know, hopefully they feel the same, that, you know, they made the right choice. But, yeah, certainly the more you can win, I feel like the more it just naturally seems like it was the right choice.
And then on Wednesday, you'd kind of established the expectation of being in the round of eight, and you just talked about that a second ago, too. Does this kind of change the expectation in the sense that no one ever expects to be in the round of four? But, like, do you now, hey, this is more realistic, and maybe that should be where we're aiming?
Yeah, and I would, maybe it got taken out of context on me today. The expectation isn't, like, we're not just saying, man, we need to make it to the round. I was just saying it seems like at JGR, it's, I mean, really the final four, but certainly if you don't make it to at least the round of eight, like, it is a huge failure. Just because, I mean, when you look at the sport in general, right, there's 8 to 10 really good cars, and it's JGR and Hendrick cars and a couple of the Penske cars. So, yeah, if you aren't one of those top eight, then it normally means you didn't have the most successful season. So, yeah, I mean, for us, I think starting the playoffs as a team, we felt like we're definitely capable of being championship four caliber and truthfully even the champion. It's just a matter of, you know, putting 10 weeks together, and obviously we started week one the way we need to. I know they're not going to all come as easy as they did tonight, but certainly if we can continue to bring the speed and execute and be on pit road the way we were, you know, it makes it where I feel like we start even internally realizing, like, hey, we're definitely capable of this, and hopefully other people will too. Yeah.
We'll come over here to Chris, and then the middle to Jerry, and then to John.
All right. First, I got to ask Brooks the question. Brooks, where'd you go?
Hey. He's got a question for you.
I got a question
time,
for you.
It's your time to shine.
Brooks, what did you tell your daddy when he won the race? What did you have to say for him at the end?
I said, Daddy, you won the big race.
What did you say the pit crew did?
The pit crew got really fast.
What did you tell the engineers they did on the car?
They pit the thing really fast, and they also did it real fast. They went super, super fast to the pit stop. My dad just keep going and going and going and going and going. And then he won the race.
Very nice.
There you have it.
You had indicated you didn't know what James's plan was for going into the playoffs. And he answered that in here earlier that his plan is just to keep winning. What is your plan going forward now? How do you approach the next two races? And then obviously that you're in the next round. So, but what kind of do you think you need to do now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the approach changes. And that's like, even I was saying earlier, like I haven't really looked at it as now it's like, hey, it's the playoffs. You need to do something different, because all the other 26 weeks of the regular season, I just try to go win the race. And it's really no different what I'm doing the next 9 weeks, right? I go there to win the race, and you try your best. And at the end of the day, you have to look yourself in the mirror and know if you did a good enough job or not. And, so I definitely think that, you know, we're capable of doing it. But I think even James and I, like, we've still yet to have a single discussion about the playoffs or the approach to the playoffs. Like, we've just acted like it's another week and we're going to the racetrack. And like I said earlier, if we just do our job, we should be good enough to be in the mix. And I feel like me and James have definitely not even talked about the playoffs or made it like, hey, this is our approach going into the week. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to just stay kind of non-stressed about it.
We'll go to John.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. You partially addressed this talking to Cameron, but I was very curious, how did you get so good at defensive driving? Because you've had to do this multiple times, whether it's in Xfinity or, you know, this year in Cup, last year in Cup, you know, tonight, so many different opportunities for people to pass you, and yet you keep holding them off.
I don't know. My dad would tell you I'm not very good at it. He chews me out all the time about how I'm too easy to pass. But yeah, it's a huge advantage when you're the lead or the leader. You know, especially it's a little bit different when you come out on like a green flag stop and you're in traffic and whatnot. But when you're in clean air, I mean, it's certainly a huge advantage. And, you know, even there at the end, like we're all slipping and sliding around, and you know, in 3 and 4, it's a very one lane racetrack. Like you have to be on the fence. So, you know, I just knew that I could not let Tyler get to my, you know, inside of my bumper, right? So in 1 and 2, like he almost got there twice, and I would just have to force my car down there, even though it was not the proper lane that it wanted to be in. I just had to take his air away, because that's a huge thing, obviously, in these cars, and it would give me a big enough gap to where I could back up my turn 3 and just try to run the fence. So, yeah, I don't know. I definitely feel like of anywhere, this is the most comfortable I feel, like as far as somebody all over me and being a little bit better tire or whatever, just because I've done it here more than anywhere else. So I've kind of learned, you know, what to do and what not to do. And, you know, I think it definitely makes it different when you have that experience at a racetrack. And, you know, certainly here I have that more than anywhere else.
We're going to go in the back to Tim and Adam.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Today. Chase, when you came in here yesterday, you talked about obviously how you wanted to, you know, try to push at least to set a record with the poles and the crown jewel races. Obviously, you came one spot shy of that. But today, you became the first driver in about 20 years to win back-to-back Southern 500s, and also became the first driver since Bobby Allison in the 70s to lead 300-plus laps in a Southern 500. So how special is that for you, and does it hold any value?
Yeah, it's cool for sure. I'd be lying if I said I'm still not mad about yesterday just because I gave it away, and that was such a cool stat, like to be able to say that you'd won all four crown jewels. And I was telling my wife, like, the odds of that ever happening are so slim, just because, you know, first off, just get the Daytona 500 pole is so hard to do, and then to obviously do it at all of them. I just know that in my career, I will probably never have that opportunity again, and obviously it's never been done in the 75 history, right? Like, that's just such a hard thing to do, so that one stings. But yeah, for sure, I mean, to be able to win here back-to-back and, you know, do it, and I didn't know that stat. Nobody's led over 300 laps. I felt like a lot of guys have done that, but I guess it hasn't been done. So yeah, it's cool. I mean, anytime you can do something in NASCAR that's not been done a whole lot, it's a special feeling. I mean, just because it's a list of who's who, and honestly, in today's world, I feel like it's so hard to go and dominate a race. Like, you just don't see it because the field is so tight. So yeah, it definitely means a lot doing it.
And I'm wondering, from your perspective, that obviously last year's win was so huge because of how it changed the season, and then here today, you come out dominating. You said this was the expectation of what you needed in the playoffs. So my question to you is more of, is this the best put together win of your career, would you say, or are there other races?
Man, that's a tough question. You know, I felt like last year I drove a better race just from start to finish, and just, you know, my car, I didn't feel like was necessarily the best car, and, you know, just the circumstances and everything. I definitely felt like last year I just drove a way better race and executed. Like tonight, I hit the wall super hard with 40 to go, and that was stupid when I did it. And then, you know, with 8 to go, I did it really, really hard and kind of got stuck in it. I just didn't run a very clean race, and, you know, my green flag pit stops just weren't really aggressive. So yeah, I definitely feel like, you know, if I had to pick one, I still would say last year was, you know, more, I wouldn't say more gratifying, but I just feel like I did a better overall job last year, where today, I mean, my car was so good. Like, as long as I didn't do anything to screw it up, I knew I was going to be in the catbird seat to win tonight. So yeah, it's just different, you know, when you're coming from behind versus, you know, leading the whole time. Definitely changes a lot, I feel like, of just how you feel about it.
Chopper Motorsports today, kind of bounce right off of that question with Tim. Obviously, something Greg Biffle didn't do 20 years ago when he won back-to-back was win with two different teams. So now with SHR and Verho's situation of shutting down at the end of the season and now being at a powerhouse in Joe Gibbs Racing, is there anything you could differentiate, obviously, besides the cars itself, that really makes it more or less special this year compared to last?
No, not really. I mean, it's special. Anytime you win in the Cup Series, it's special. It's just such a hard thing to do. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I remember after Pocono, I talked about how, like, it just didn't feel as cool to win. It just didn't feel the same, right, as all my other wins. But tonight definitely felt different just because you dominated. And, you know, it definitely feels different than Pocono. But I would say still, you know, last year just the feeling of winning with such a underdog team, and just the situation that it was, and, you know, winning your way into the playoffs, it definitely, I mean, they're both cool, but I would say that one. And plus, it's your first crown jewel. Like, it feels different when it's that. But, I mean, tonight it's still definitely special for sure.
And on top of that, this is your first ever playoff win in the NASCAR Cup Series. So does this open up the floodgates, or is there a way to build more momentum off of this?
I hope so. I mean, certainly, I think just the confidence and the momentum that comes with, you know, not only winning, but just winning the way that we did. I mean, that's a big thing for a team. So yeah, and plus, I think it opens us up for the next 2 weeks, you know, to, you know, do things a little bit different, maybe strategy-wise, just because we know that we have the win in the bag, and, you know, you can hopefully steal a stage point or two or whatever. So I definitely think it, you know, it helps us for sure.
Are there any final questions for Chase? We'll go in the back, and then we'll come down to Cameron, and we'll wrap with Jerry.
Zach Moyer for Rolling the Bob. Chase, you talked about how good this car drove. Is this one of the best cars you ever driven in NASCAR? Because it seemed like you were just unstoppable. I mean, Denny got the lead there on a restart. You passed him a couple laps. Right back in the same thing. He got up on a restart, cleared you, and you a couple laps later, you got him back. I mean, we talk about how dirty air is such a big factor. It seemed like dirty air really didn't affect your car. And the only time you were really vulnerable was near the end. You still held him off.
Bell came in victory before the race started tonight. Me and Bell were talking. I told Bell, I said, I feel like I'm either going to be in the top three all night or I'm going to be lapped down by lap 70. Like, I didn't know what to expect. And we were talking about the 14 car and just, you know, what it did so different. And I told him in victory lane, I said, man, that thing was pretty close to 14, I think. I think that, you know, my car was probably a little bit stronger than I had on the short run. But on the long run, I think the 14 was still better. But I could build such a much bigger gap with this car. They're both good. And when you have a car that good, you better win with it. And that was something I was panicking with 20 to go. I was like, man, if you don't win with this car, it's hard to go back to your team and complain about anything. And just even the confidence they have in you. So, yeah, you kind of had to find another gear there at the end and just, you know, kind of fight through it. And, yeah, because it's hard to go back to your team. And at least for me, I feel like it's hard for them to still believe in me as being the guy if I can't, you know, win with that style of race car.
We'll go to Cameron, and then we'll wrap with Jerry.
You know, I look at the rest of the tracks that are on this schedule, and minus Talladega and the Roval, I mean, are you the championship favorite?
I don't know. I mean, it can change, obviously, week to week. But, you know, I definitely feel like with the tracks in the playoffs, I mean, outside of Talladega and I would say New Hampshire, like, I feel like that's a track that I kind of struggle at. But, it, you know, the Roval has been great to me in the past. You know, cup-wise, it's not been. But, yeah, I feel like the playoffs really round out well for me statistically. And even at JGR, it's all really great racetracks. So, yeah, I mean, the round eight's obviously the hard one just because you do have Talladega in there. But, yeah, I definitely think that, you know, if we can get there, I feel confident going to Phoenix too.
We have a question from Brooks, and then we'll go to Jerry.
What's your question, sir, and who do you work for? Do you have a question?
Why are you doing that?
I'm talking to you, buddy.
All right, we'll take one final question from Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires tonight. Like 10 minutes ago, I had a racing question, but now my question is, you going to get a copy of this video for his high school graduation?
Yeah, I'll show his girlfriend or wife one day, for sure. Yeah, he's just living his best life. I mean, in victory lane, you know, he's drinking a milkshake and high-fiving everybody and standing on the car. And it's pretty cool. I mean, last year, obviously, he was here. But Boswell, my crew chief, when he came to give me a hug, he punched Brooks in the face. So he was crying the whole time, and he's been talking about how he didn't get to do the experience because he was so sad and crying because his face got punched. So this one was a way better experience for not only him but also myself. But yeah, it's cool to obviously have him here, have my family here. You know, the twins are here. This is the first time they've ever been here. And, you know, even – you know, get to have Brooks ride with me in the car. Like, that's something that, you know, I watch Harvick do all the time with his kids. And, you know, for me and him, we've talked about doing that. And it's never worked out to where, you know, he's either here or he's been punched in the face and he didn't want to get in the car because he was so sad. So, yeah, definitely was a special night just from that standpoint. Yeah.
All right, Chase. Congratulations. Yeah, thanks again for your time.
Start your engines!
Yeah, he does. I don't. He does. He likes it.
Yeah.